You're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Live from the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All right, we go out to the Progressive Guest Line as, you know, before we had this news with the LIV Golf Tour merging with the PGA and the Euro Tour, we kind of had a feeling we'd start dipping our toes more in the baseball waters, finding some good series to preview. And, you know, that obviously we had to book our guest to do so today. And it is still a pretty good series in Atlanta. So we bring on John Michaels from 680 The Fan down there in the ATL to talk more about Braves and Mets. Three games tonight in Georgia. John, thank you for your time. How are you?
Oh, doing great. Anytime. Obviously, a huge series here in the ATL is the stinking Mets come to town.
Before we talk about what happened, or what will happen these next three nights, what'd you make of the Marcell Ozuna stuff over the weekend?
You know, I don't want to come across as hypocritical. I'm, you know, sitting there in my basement watching the game, and I see him hit the ball, and I go, he's only going to get a single out of this if this doesn't go out of the park. I just
you said it
when the ball left the park or left the yard, and it didn't leave the yard, just a couple inches short. But where I don't want to be hypocritical, a few years ago, Ronald Acuna had the exact same thing on a ball hit down the right field line that looked like a home run and ended up not being a home run, and he got a single, and the Braves ended up not scoring a run. All for me was washed away when Eddie Rosario hit a grand slam in the ninth inning for the win. Had the Braves lost that game 5-4, Marcell Ozuna really is going to be a guy that's looked at even worse than he is sometimes for his production at the plate, because you would have lost a one-run game. You would have lost the series 2-1. You'd only have a 2-game lead over the Miami Marlins. But for me, I think Brian Snitker handled it the right way. Pulled him out of the game. We were at Austin Riley's golf tournament yesterday. Had a chance to ask Austin face-to-face, how did the club handle it? How did Marcelo handle it behind closed doors? Ozuna said, look, my bad. It's my own fault. It won't happen again. And Austin Riley told us point-blank, the team's moving on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was feels like something where you just have to, if you're Snitker, you just have to send a message and turn the page, right?
Yeah, that's it. And Ozuna's been so hot at the plate over the last month. I mean, we had him cut on our show back in mid-April. It was like, all right, as soon as they can cut him and they want to eat $16 million a year, get him out of here. Well, then he's hit over 300 in the month of May, hit 7 or 8 home runs, had 30 runs driven in, and you suddenly feel like, okay, this guy can be part of the lineup. So, yeah, it's a one-day deal. And, again, the win made it a hell of a lot easier to fly back across from the West Coast.
All right, as we move forward and talk about this series with the Mets, obviously I think New York, much like the Phillies and the Padres, you've had a lot of teams that weren't the Braves that were in the playoffs last year that have been off to slow starts in 2023. What do you make of how the Mets and Braves match up? Did you think all along that we were going to be in for a fight to the bitter end with these two teams in the NL East like we had last year? Just your thoughts on kind of where we are right now with these two teams in the division.
You know, the Mets, obviously, at the top of their rotation have just studs. Mm-hmm. And if those guys stay healthy, they're obviously going to be a group that sticks around and will make a run. Their bats have been really cold so far this year, which is a little bit surprising, 60 games into the season. And the fact that they're in third place is surprising. But one of the things I learned a lot last year, remember when that Sal Licata nitwit up in New York decided to say the NL East was over on May 31st, and the Braves at that time, I think, were 10.5 games back and felt like they were dead and gone. These two teams are going to be there till the end. I also think the Mets, they're going to be one of those teams that eventually says, okay, we got to go make trades, and we're going to mortgage whatever we need to try to go out and get back into a playoff mix. So I'd like to see the Braves over these next 3 days put some more distance between themselves and the Mets, because there's going to be a time when the Mets' bats get hot. There's going to be a time when their pitching becomes completely dominant, and I think they will make a run at some point.
Okay. I having said that, though, I mean, you make a good point about the distance right now, and I know it is still just early June, but it is a 6-game lead in the loss column for Atlanta on the Mets. I don't think anybody really looks at Miami as a team that is going to manage to continue to win all these close games that the Marlins have won. So, you know, if we're saying it's the Mets and, you know, the Phillies, at least the last couple days have played a little bit better. If we're saying it's those two teams that Atlanta is competing with for the division crown, well, they already have a sizable lead right now. So I think pretty important here for the Mets to at least keep their distance, right?
Absolutely. You think about it, simple terms of math. If the Braves win 2 out of 3 this week at home, it's a 6.5 game lead over the Mets. If they somehow sweep, you're talking about an 8.5 game lead over the Mets. And the Braves eventually are going to get healthy. You know, a lot of folks around the country are probably looking to go, oh, this is just the same Atlanta team we've seen in years past. 21-game winner Kyle Wright from a year ago has been out most of the year. Mm-hmm. He won't be back until July or August. Last year's runner-up to the Cy Young, Max Fried, he's also been out. He's looking at, and he was just transferred to the 60-day injured, which wasn't really a surprise. It was just more a logistical thing yesterday. He'll be back sometime in July. So you're talking about two power arms that potentially could be back in the rotation in July, which is only going to bolster what this team is. They've dealt with Michael Harris being hurt for stretches of the year, and he's been a shell of himself where he was a year ago when he was the co-rookie of the year in the National League. If he can start hitting again, this lineup's going to be even more potent. They dealt with Travis d'Arnaud being out for a while with injury. So my point to that is when the Braves get healthy, it's almost going to be like all-star deadline deals where you're going to get great pitching coming back. And that's why I think for teams around the league, whether it's the Marlins, the Mets, the Phillies, they better keep it close, or the Braves are going to be a team that's really, really tough to deal with.
You know, I just looked this up. Only 4 times has the 2 of the 3 major BBWAA awards, Rookie of the Year, MVP, and Cy Young, been from the same team. Could we be looking at that with Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. this year?
Yeah, Acuna to me has, and I don't want to say running away, again, it's early June, but Acuna's putting together, he's on pace right now for like 35 homers and 60 stolen bases, which is absolutely insane, and he's playing a great right field. You know, you're talking about a guy now almost 2 years removed from that devastating ACL injury, yeah, and he looks like the Acuna we had a year ago. And Spencer Strider leading the National League in strikeouts. This is a 10-strikeout machine, Strider is. My only fear for him is maybe the name recognition isn't there when you get down somewhere later into the voting process. But Spencer's putting together an unbelievable year. And the crazy part, the guy that's pitching tonight for him, Bryce Elder, I guarantee most people couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Hell, I probably couldn't without his jersey on. He's leading the National League in ERA. Coming out of spring training, he was a Triple-A guy.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, he's pitching his butt off. So Alex Anthopoulos has done a great job unearthing a bunch of different
people. Their whole developmental staff, they just always have more pitching.
Yep, and they've got one. Watch the next time through the rotation. They sent Mike Soroka back down to AAA. Mm-hmm. He was struggling with a sinker ball. They've got a young kid named A.J. Smith-Shawver. He just made his major league debut over the weekend against Arizona. 2 1/3 in relief, 3 strikeouts, no runs. I think he walked one. He will probably get the start the next time through. This was electric. I mean, you're talking about less than 100 games total in the minor leagues, comes flying up through the league. He's now in the rotation, potentially in the next start. That could be the next one you look at and go, where the hell they find this guy?
All right, John, before we let you go, I know you're a Miami guy. How are you feeling? 1-1 in the NBA Finals, head back to South Beach.
Well, I picked the Heat in 7. I'm not changing. The Heat are going to win this series. They're better coached, not by much, and maybe to the dismay of Ramona Shelburne, who asked a great question yesterday, and Eric Spoelstra shot it down. Find a way to not let the others beat you. You cannot let Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Michael Porter and all those guys get open threes. If Miami shoots it well, they're going to win an NBA championship, and I'll tell you, it'll be the most unlikely championship potentially in sports history.
You think we see Tyler Hero in one of these two games in Miami?
I hope so, but just reading everything, and Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald maybe an hour ago said he's still not cleared by the medical staff. They said yesterday he's still dealing with soreness after a shoot-around. I just don't know if you're dealing with that. Can you put him back in the game? I hope you can, because I think there's time in this series you're going to need somebody that can give you some buckets, not named Jimmy Butler or Gabe Vincent, maybe Bam Adebayo, but I'd love to see Tyler back. I just reading the tea leaves, I don't think he's going to be back in the 7-game series.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like if it doesn't happen tomorrow or in Game 4, then the later we get in the series, the less likely it would be that it would happen, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it sucks. You know, 2 years in a row, this poor kid has been hurt in the playoffs. Last year in the Boston series, he hurt a groin and was really ineffective or couldn't play. Now you're talking about breaking a hand in Game 1 of the playoffs, diving for a loose ball, and he's been sitting out the whole year. But it's worked out for the Heat. I'll tell you, other guys have stepped up. Duncan Robinson, he's earned that contract in these 20 games throughout the playoffs.
All right, there he is, John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta, kind enough to join us to talk a little Braves and Mets beginning tonight at Truist Park, and of course the Miami Heat trying to win what is now a best of five in the NBA Finals. John, thank you for your time, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah, you as well.